Welcome to the House of Manna. Thank you for downloading the podcast. We pray that it's a blessing to you. We thank you that you are tuning in to the message this week from the House of Manna. As Pastor Marty begins to minister to you in this message, let it be a blessing unto your spirit and to your soul. God bless you. Hope you enjoy. That song, Lord Jesus, beautiful song, you know, brings back memories. It reminds me of my dad, and it reminds me of the times I had. Sometimes we go on in life and we forget about the things that God has done. And then we forget some of the memories that we should always carry. You know, my dad never saw the fulfillment of my purpose. And as that song was playing, it just reminded me of his smile. My dad had a tendency to be in a room and you would never know that he didn't have a dime to his name. Dress sharp, look sharp, was the life of the party. It didn't matter what he didn't have, he knew what he had. Some things in life are lost. And when they're lost, it's our responsibility to go find. We have to hold the treasures in our heart that bring back the memories of what God has done. It's when we go through life and forget about all of his benefits, his blessings, and his promises, that we lose sight of what he's called us for, to be a representation of him and his kingdom. But over the course of life, we see things that come against us from all areas of our life, and it makes it very difficult for us to reflect back on the things he's already done. We begin to lose sight of the fact when we first fell in love with Jesus, when he first found you, because Jesus was not lost, we were lost. I had many friends of mine tell me, oh, you found Jesus. I said, oh, no, he knew where I was the whole time. He knew where he was at. I didn't know where I was at. And we go through life thinking that we have everything figured out because we have a tendency to feel that we know everything. Come on now. You know when you're like 18, 19 years old, you know it all. You know it all because you turn 18. I'm moving out. I'm moving on my own. I'm going to get my own apartment. I got my own job, my own car. I'm going to get my own apartment. Mama, can you make something for dinner? You didn't put together all of the benefits that you had. Mama taking care of you, praying for you, staying up, watching over you. Daddy watching to see if you come home okay. Listening for your vehicle coming down the driveway, down the street to hear you pull up to say, my boy's home. We have to understand something. Even though we think we know it all, God knows everything. Let's not forget. Let's not forget. We have some children in here that have a tendency to use their mouth in a way that shouldn't be done towards your parents. Let me just remind you what the Bible says. You are to honor your mother and your father so that you have long life. My Bible reads in this wise. Son, you better listen to your mama or you won't live at all. That's what it said. Because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You all right? Is that right? I got you, kids. I got you. But parents, do not provoke your children. See, we want to stop right there. Better honor your mother and your father. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Just can you finish the scripture, though? Do not provoke your children to anger. All right? Don't we have a tendency to think that just because we have one little sentence in the Bible that that's what we build our theology around? You think, well, it's in the Bible. How many of you have heard verses on the on the radio and they mention Jesus and you think, what's a Christian song? They mention Jesus and going to church. Just like that song that came out, Take Me to Church. Oh, they're mentioning church and God. No, they're not. We need to pay attention. We have to remember the value of what has been lost. And let's go and find it. The lost and found of life. Turn to your Bibles, please, Luke 15. Luke 15. I promise not to keep you long. I know it's Father's Day, and many of us want to be able to get to our barbecues or going out to the restaurants. If you do go out to a restaurant, I want you to bless that wait staff like never before. And when they say, where are you from? You just tell them, I'm of the kingdom of God. It's not about a church. I'm from the kingdom of God, and I want to bless those that serve me. And even if they do bad service, you bless them anyhow. Bless them. You don't have to tell them they did bad. Just bless them. They don't have to list everything they did wrong. Just bless them. Amen. Are we there at Luke 15? Begin reading verse 1 out of the NIV, and it reads in this wise. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. I could preach right there just by that first sentence. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Do we need to read it again? I tell you that in the same way, there will be rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner who repents. The one. Heaven. Heaven rejoices when one repents. How many of you are thinking right now in your mind, say, well, I'm saved. I already repented, so they're rejoicing. How many of you are thinking that? What it's talking about here is the one that repents. How many times should you be repenting? Yeah. So I don't know how you say that, you're so busy. You should be repenting all the time. It should be to the point like, I've repented for everything. You know what? I just repent for the things I don't even know about. Yeah. Right? We say that. We do that blanket cover. I repent for things I don't even know about. Cover it. Where's the effectiveness in that? There's none. Because you have to have an understanding of what you're repenting for. Lord, I'm not going to list them. Don't worry. It's Father's Day. I'm not going to list them. Just going to leave it alone. We start listing all kinds of sin, and then y'all get mad at Pastor, and I don't like that. I love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Truth. Not half truths. Like when we get caught doing something we're not supposed to do, and then they ask you to confess it, and you only tell a little part of it, thinking, well, that should cover the rest of it. That don't work. Confess it. The lost sheep is the parable of the one who has strayed away from the Father, but the Father goes and seeks the one. But did you read here where it says it leaves them in the open pasture? Did you read that? In the open pasture. You know what that means? That the 99 are still subject to danger. In the open. But we'll leave the 99. Oh, hear this. Just hear this. The 99 that should be strong enough to learn how to stay together in unity And if they can stay together in unity, they'll be safe. But when there's no unity and division, they're not going to be safe. So the Father knew how to bring unity so that if one left, let's see. Who's the one that left? Let me go looking for the one that left. Let me go looking for the one that left. Let me go looking. How quiet it gets. See how quiet it gets? And like, no, shoot, he's going to pick me. I don't want to go to the front. I don't want nobody looking at me when I go to the front. And then others, pick me. Look, I put on makeup and I put on my eyelashes. Look, pick me. But what happens is he goes after the one. He goes and finds the one. And then it says that he goes, and when he comes back, he puts the sheep on his shoulders. But since it's Father's Day, can I break it down? Okay, I was going to. You got yourself 99 that are waiting for you to come back because they're used to being around you. They're used to you shepherding them in the right direction. But the one that's strayed away, you would think like in today's society that we'd go in there, get that whoop, you know. But the Bible says that when Jesus is telling the sparrow that he goes and gets that one and puts it around the shoulders, carries him back. The only way that that sheep is going to be submissive is understanding the authority that it's under. Because if the sheep doesn't understand the authority that it's under, it's going to kick. I don't know about you. It's not comfortable being draped over somebody's neck. Do you know the pressure that is on that sheep? On the rib cage? On the lungs? And on the stomach? To the point, watch this. Sheep are not clean. They're dirty and dumb. They're very dumb. Now watch this. How many of you have animals that you can hold in your lap or hold, you know? You got animals, you know, dogs, cats. Who has a cat in here? You got a cat? I know you got Barrio. That's not a cat. That's a demon cat like mine. Crazy cat. Now watch this. I'm just going to give an example. Just an example. This is not Bible story. This is Marty's story. Okay. I have a cat. Some of y'all know about my cat. Well, now because of the recent rains, now all these animals are, you know, getting infested with fleas. I've never had flea problems with any of my animals. Never. All of a sudden, I see my dog scratching. I say, oh, Lord. It's just mosquito bites. Then they keep scratching. Now both of them are scratching. Then my cat jumps on the bed because it's my cat. Doesn't like anybody else but me. Comes to my side of the bed and starts scratching. I said, oh, no. Not in my bed, you're not. Now, I'm going to tell it, baby. I'm going to tell it. The cat has a tendency to irritate my wife. No, literally, purposely irritate her. The cat gets on her pillow and starts to. So in the middle of the night, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, my wife had enough of it. Threw the cat up in the air. In love. And the cat landed on my face. I'm like, Inez, where that cat made me mad? I said, God. And I feel the blood. I was like, are you kidding me? So I get in the restroom and I'm having to put the ointment on because I ain't going to get no infection. I'm going to put this ointment on. My wife's already snoring. And the cat's looking at me like, oh, shoot. We're going to deal with this. Here's the thing. The cat wouldn't get on my side of the bed because it had fleas. So, watch. Now, it's time to give my dogs a bath. Give my dogs a bath. And I said, I got to get the cat. I'm going to get the cat. I got my cat. I told Josh, come on, Josh, you got to help me. I grabbed that cat. grabbed it by the scruff. Listen. By the scruff, she listened. She didn't fight against it. Oh, she made all kinds of noise. We have video to prove it. And I gave her a bath, but she didn't fight against it. But after a while there, because it was uncomfortable, she started kicking and wanted to scratch. See, when we're getting, come here, son. Since you have that hoodie. When you're under the hand of authority, animals know when you grab them by the scruff, that's just like when the mama used to carry them. So they know the authority. So holding the cat by the scruff, it wouldn't move. She didn't like the water. Oh, she did not like the water at all. I got to the point I was so scared. I said, we're sleeping with the doors closed. We're putting the cat outside. I don't want her to come attack us at night. Okay, what I'm saying is she submitted to the authority. She didn't fight against it. But even though she was under that authority, it got to the point it got uncomfortable. That she began to want to fight. Because she wasn't in control no more. Every now and then, God has to grab a hold of our scruff. Say, boy, you, example, you know, calm down. You need to listen here. You getting a little wayward is going to have a tendency to make you stray. And God has to come in and grab hold of you before you leave. Now start fighting and get away, son. God's going to let go. God's going to let go. Keep going, son. It's going to let go because he's not going to go against your will. You hear that? Because you choose to go and leave him. Now, for some of you religious folks, I'll never leave God. He's not talking about that you're going to give up on God. He's talking about that you're going to begin to lose hope in him. And you're going to get frustrated because things aren't happening the way you want it to happen. And so you're going to begin to leave. What Scripture is talking about in this parable is that everybody else that's used to the scruff, the hand, and the authority, oh, you're good. Y'all will stay together in unity. But the one that has a tendency to run, I'll be back. It didn't say grab by the scruff. It said put him on the shoulder, effectually bringing him back. Bringing him back into the fold. All right. Clean him all up. Clean him all up. Good. Now he's brought back into the fold. Now what happens if the same one goes again? Go back again. What a shepherd does, what a father does, goes right back in love. In love. Turn sideways, sir. In love, breaks the leg. Breaks the leg of the very precious one that he's been after. In your brokenness, you'll begin to learn how to submit to the rightful authority. But if you don't learn how to get broken in God, pride develops. Attitude develops. After he breaks the legs, brings it back. Watch this. Brings the sheep back. Cleans it right back up again. Puts it back in the fold now with a limp. With a limp. Didn't say just because he's broken, he's not part of it. He's more part now of the fold because he has to rely on the protection of the fold and the shepherd. Do you see that? The lost has value that we must seek after. Even when they want to run, we still seek. Why do we seek? Because God has value in the one that is lost. We need to see the value that is in the one that is lost and seek after them. But if you don't seek after them, now this isn't a message for pastors. This is a message for the ambassadors. You seek after the lost. And the lost aren't the ones, watch this, that are out there only. They're the ones that are in here, in the fold. And how do you go and seek the lost? With love. With love that they can trust you. They can trust that your heart means, I don't want to see you go down that road where you can be taken out by your own desires. So get back in the fold. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Now, when he finds the sheep, this is what it says in that first parable. He goes and tells his neighbors and his friends, I found the one. I found the one that got away. I found him. Come on, let's celebrate. There's no longer celebration of what's taking place when we begin to see people come to the Lord. We've gotten so comfortable by seeing people go to the altar 100 times. And we've minimized the very effect that it takes place. Is that even heaven is rejoicing. We don't know when they actually say, you know what? This time is different than the other 99 times. I truly believe this time. And you don't know when that salvation really takes place. That's why you keep doing it. There's worth in the one. In the very one. But he celebrates. I mean, well, no, I'm not going to ask this church that. How many of y'all celebrate? Because y'all are like, oh, all the time. Sure. Yeah. We have to celebrate the things that God is saying for us to celebrate. We go get the one. And we celebrate. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're going to continue on. This is the next parable he begins to tell them. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, they are rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Oh, that's another parable with the same end result. One sinner who repents. I think that Jesus is trying to get these people to understand, you're not perfect. It's time for repentance. What is repentance? It's turning away from the very thing. Turn away from it. Turn away from it. Turn away from it. And walk towards him. That doesn't mean you're going to be made perfect right now. You're going to be going through a process to be made perfect. Amen? Now, the woman understood the value of the one, didn't she not? She had 10 coins but lost one. And she, it says that she swept the house. But before she swept it, she did what? She turned on the lights. So in other words, she just flipped on the switch. The lights came on. Oh, she lit one of those little votives. She lit one of those candles that y'all like to smell that smells the house really nice. And she lit that one so that she could walk around, smell good, and look for it. She lit a lantern. The lantern is the oil that is in the very bottom of a vessel that has the wick, the linen that is in there. The linen represents that of the will of God. Lights the will of God and illuminates the oil that is within. And the vessel begins now to illuminate in the atmosphere. So it tells me something was lost in darkness. Something was lost in darkness. Because in light, the darkness is exposed. But in the darkness, what does that mean? Can we turn all the lights off, please? Look here. Someone dropped something right now, and you try to find it without the light on, you're going to have a hard time. But before something is dropped, it's usually taking place in the dark times of your life. In the dark times of your life, you don't have direction. You don't even have your bearings. You lose something that is very valuable to you. And sometimes that is called the sensitivity of his presence. But you've got to go back and seek that. But you don't know what to find, where to look, or where to even search. And God says that if you would just turn me on, the light, and what you once had, you lost, but I will bring you to it. We have forgotten about the very presence of God, that we have a tendency to just let the darkness prevail over our life. We walk around in ambiguity in our spirit and in our mind, and we think that we're okay because we're in church, we pray, and we read our Bible. There is much more to that when we don't take the time to spend with Him. Reading the Bible and praying is great. We're supposed to do that. Not legalistically, but because we desire to. That helps illuminate your dark times in your life. So when you lose something, what about the discernment? What if you lose discernment? It usually happens when you're in the dark seasons of your life. You can no longer discern whether that's the voice of God. It's in our dark times that we lose things. It's when we go through the dark places of our life that we begin to lose other things. The woman understood the value of what she lost. So then she turned on the lights. Go ahead and turn on the lights. But what does it say next that she did? She swept. Let's, before we even continue on, we just think, well, she just went and just swept up the house. She cleaned it all up. Just to look for, how many of you have lost something in your house? Y'all should all be raising your hand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you normally do first? Do you go back to and retrace your steps? I'm going to retrace my steps. The other day I put my keys here, and I always put my keys in one place, but they're not there. Give you a prime example. When I put things down, I know where I put them. I put it there. I don't just lay them anywhere. I know where I put them. Ask my kids, where's Dad's bag when he gets home from church? Chair in the dining room. Same chair. All the time. So when I go looking for my stuff, is I know where I put it. But when I can't find it, who messes my stuff? Who took my cord? Y'all didn't take it? Someone took it. Because I had it in there. You know how we get when we're looking for that one cord because you're on one bar on your phone? And it's already getting ready to start beeping at you. Connect to charger. Battery low. And you start looking for it. And you know you had it there? It was in that pouch that I always put in there. It's always be in there. And then I have my black, cord that, you can attach to. It's right there. It's always there. But how come today I couldn't find it? Was something just preoccupying my mind? Did circumstances in the house change that just made me do something that I didn't think about, that I couldn't retrace my steps? So I start looking and I start looking. I interrogate everybody. Let's see if you're like, did you take my stuff? Did you take my stuff? Start interrogate everybody. And then it just ding. You still in the car? Can't be in my car. So I go to my car. It's still attached. I never took it out. I said, oh. I ain't going to tell everybody that it was my fault. I'm not going to go tell them that was my fault. I'm not going to apologize. What? Then you walk in carrying it, and mama comes and says, oh, you found it? Yeah, it was in your car, wasn't it? No. It was in the back seat. So I have to go repent. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot. But then you start thinking, how can you forget? It was attached to your phone. Or how many of you have done this one? Y'all see my phone? Yes. Josh, call my phone. I can't. Where's? Have you asked? But wait a minute. We all do it because our mind is preoccupied. And wait a minute. But even though you know you're touching, you're feeling, you have it. or you're the type of person that you do things the same all the time, something is going to bring a darkness to your mind that you're not going to remember what you've been doing. And you retrace your steps, and it's not until you just kind of like, I was charging my phone in the car. Never unplugged it. Okay, that's what it was. How come I didn't think about that? Something is going on that has you preoccupied that you're not thinking straight. That's when it makes it much easier for you to fall away. Because you're not thinking straight. There's value. There's value. There's value, baby. There's value in your past. In your past, there's value. Hold on to the value. Because your future is going to change. It's in the process right now of changing. What was once bleak is now bright. And you'll begin to see purpose in it now. You have a voice that needs to be heard. You have a voice, and it needs to be heard. And many will begin to come around you as you encourage them. You have a heart for people, even though many have come against you. Your future is brighter than what your past is. But remember, your past doesn't define you. It begins to bring you further and further into your destiny. There was so much power inside of you, so much, that what you speak, you will speak with passion. You're a passionate woman, passionate. Don't lose it. I encourage you, don't lose it. Hard times. You can relate to the brokenness, but in that brokenness, you'll see his strength. You'll see his strength. Just keep your eyes lifted towards Jesus and watch what he's going to do for you. I encourage you. You are the head and not the tail. Your past is redeemed and your future is made bright. I bless you. Bless you. Now, she sweeps her house. Now, do y'all know that she had that, the 12 by 12, ceramic tile, or she had that that plush, what do you call that, frise carpet? You know, that's not the frise? No frise? Oh, Berber? Berber? What's the Berber? What kind of floor? Oh, maybe she had one of those suspended floors. No? What'd she have? She had dirt. She had dirt floors. How many of you know when you start sweeping up dirt, you get more dirt? All of a sudden now, what was once maybe clean on the surface up here, because you're looking for something, other things get dirty. Can I start sleeping? I'm just looking for that coin. I don't care about the rest of my house. There's value to what I lost. I'll get to the rest of the stuff, but I'm looking for that one thing that I lost because there's value to it. I don't care if it gets dusty and smoky in here. I'm going to look for that very one thing that I lost because it has value to me. It has worth, and I'm not going to just let it go just because it's one, even though I have nine. I may make a mess out of everything else, but I'm going to find the one. And I'll deal with the rest later. Many of you can just say, you know what, I'm going to go after the thing that God has called me to do. I may have lost my way, but I'm going to seek it. I'm going to seek it. I'm going to find it. I'm going to find out what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to find out what I got to be doing. And I'm going to just do it. I'm going to make sure that I find everything that God wants me to find, even in the dust. Got to sweep some things out of the way, but I'm going to find it. And when she finds it, she rejoices. How many of you have lost sight of what God has told you to do? Raise your hand. I'll tell you what, stand up. Okay, are you standing up because I said stand up, or are you standing up because I lost sight of Okay. Have you lost sight of what God has called you to do? Yes? And look at the church standing up, the whole church. Wow. It says a lot, doesn't it? How come we lose sight of what God has told us to do? Because we begin to rationalize, well, if I do it, it's going to require some sacrifice. And I don't want to make that kind of sacrifice, because if I decide to follow after God 100%, that means something else is going to suffer. Well, God is always worth 100. And whatever else you are giving time to, more than God, that's an idol. That's an idol. Well, I'm not worshiping it. Give it more time than you're giving God. That is an idol. Thank you. Whoever this is for. If going to the gym is more important than spending time with God. That's an idol. Now, if food, I repent now, Jesus. I just repent right now. That's me. I'm going to be honest. I repent, God. Food is my friend. But if food is something you desire more than the time in his presence, that has become an idol. We need to get things back into perspective. If your phone is more important to you than spending time with Jesus, your phone is an idol. Y'all looking at me? Oh, TV? What? TV? I bind that devil in the name of Jesus. TV, social media. This is a real church, right? It's rated R. It's rated R. Your drugs. Your alcohol. Your pornography. That's an idol. Spend more time in that, you're going to begin to lose more value. You understand? Or how about this one you probably didn't think about? Your unforgiveness towards somebody. It's an idol. It's an idol. Because you don't forgive the individual. You're holding on and you're keeping yourself in bondage. Because you don't want to swallow the pride. What you got to understand is that's an idol because you won't let it go. Let go and pursue God. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Thank you for standing. She sweeps it. She finds it. She calls her friends again. Tells everybody, come on, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. I'm going to begin on the next parable that he's still, who's he talking to? Now the tax collectors and sinners were with him. He begins to speak to this, to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He begins to speak this to the preachers, to the pastors that have lost their way and their purpose. So his next parable is this. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of my estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. About you, but sounds like when I was 18 years old, I thought I knew everything. I wanted to get out of my own, graduated high school, got my own apartment, didn't have no food in my refrigerator, didn't have no real furniture in my house, but I had my own apartment. Couldn't do anything because I had to pay bills, but I had my own apartment. Couldn't go to the movies because I had bills to pay. I was always working, but I had my own apartment. And I realized if I was at home working, this money would be mine. So 6 months later, I said, I'll see you. I'm going back home. I went back home, told my mom, I'm coming back home. She said, oh, you are. Since you've been working, you got a taste of paying bills. You're going to pay some bills around here. And it's going to be the same thing being if I had my own apartment. She said, you should have never left. How's this going to work, Mom? Well, now that you're working, you're going to help pay some bills around here. You're going to pay for your own car. You're going to pay for your own insurance. And then you're going to pay for cable. It's the same thing if I had to pay rent. She says, well, now that you had a taste of it, you're going to help me out. Okay. Went back home. Started paying bills. Still had a little bit extra. How'd that happen? Because Mama made sure I tithe. Oh, let me see your check. Let me show you something. See all that right there? Yeah, I worked a lot of overtime on this. Yeah, you're going to take 10% of that. Okay, I got to pay my car, my insurance, cable, and I got to give to the church. She goes, you want to live here? Here's my 10%. You don't mess with Mama. So I gave. And I realized something. When I thought that I had everything I wanted when I left, it wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what I needed. It's what I thought I wanted. How many of us, we make mistakes like that? We think that this is it. I make something of myself. Had myself, my little, I had a little Toyota. Had some mags on it. It was fly. I took that thing all over Texas, New Mexico. Just that little truck. Drove everywhere. I put a brand new stereo in there. Amplifier. How many of you know those kicker boxes back in the day? Y'all know about those kicker boxes. I had and it was a little single cab Toyota. Me, big old dude in there. But did all that. And I was paying more living at home, but I was still giving to God. And I didn't understand it. Until I realized, I got this because of listening to Mom. So here's this younger boy of the son. Says, give me everything. It's my inheritance right now. Goes off and starts living wild and crazy. And then says, you know what? I need a job. And the job that he gets is feeding pigs. How many of you have fed pigs before? Raise your hand. It's not fun. It is nasty. Some of you kids that don't want to get a job because, like, ooh, I don't want to do that. Woo! Back in the day, they didn't take resumes. They just said, get out there and go feed the pigs. Or go get the eggs from the chicken coop. Some of you haven't worked the farm before. Lord Jesus. I said, this ain't fun. Go milk the cow. You want cereal? Go milk the cow. Ooh. I don't want no cereal. So you learn, watch this. But he learned something. Because you got to remember, Dad was a man of wealth and prominence. He got his inheritance. He didn't have to work before. Not like this. He was already in the rightful place, but he wanted and desired something for himself. Now he's feeding the pigs. Sometimes we just got to be rough in our love. Oh, you want to? Go ahead, Mijo. You want to go? Go ahead. Don't let that door hit you. You'll be back. So I thought this time, I'm making some money. I got my stereo. I got my kicker. I've got all of the things in my truck that I need. Got a little bit of extra clothing. I'm good. Now I start thinking, now I'm going to start saving. I'm going to get me some dishes. I'm going to get me some towels. I'm going to move out again. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mijo. You want to go? Go ahead. So I go. I move out again. Think, I'm going to do the same thing I was doing when I was at Mom's house, and it should work for me. If you don't know the authority and understand authority, Once you leave when you're not supposed to leave, what you thought you've learned, you'll lose because you truly hadn't submitted. So I got back out there and got myself an apartment. Okay, I'm going to tithe. Well, you know what? I got to pay the bill here. So I'm going to pay this bill, and I'm going to pay my truck, pay my insurance. That's taken care of. I put a little bit of money aside so I can pay my portion of the rent. And, well, you know, I'll tithe next week too. And well, okay, that next week came, and I didn't tithe again. See, all of a sudden the devourer started coming in. Started taking away. I knew the principle, but I left too soon. Mom coming home. She goes, no, you're not. I let you come back the second time. But you ain't coming back this time. You're going to make it work. How am I going to make it work? It's not working. So I thought I had this. You know how we get prideful? So I get into a car accident. My insurance lapsed. Because I didn't pay for the insurance. I thought I was being slick. I said, oh, you didn't pay for your insurance. What happened? See, what happened? It's total. Thinking that that would help. You know how we do. That didn't help. So you better work some extra time or overtime or go get yourself another job because you got to pay for this vehicle to get fixed. You got to work harder? Two jobs? But then I'm not gonna be able to go out on Friday nights. Then I'm not going to be able to go on Wednesday nights either. Had a system down. I knew how I could get fed Wednesdays and Fridays at happy hour. Think about it. I'm talking for real in here. Used to go to clubs that used to be able to, you go get your food, all you can eat. So I'd get out of work real quick and head over there so I can get a little, fill up my plate and fill up another one. Just leave it. Don't touch. Thinking that I was getting ahead, but not considering all the beer I was buying. Think about it. So I was just losing more and more. Well, I'm not going to pay insurance on this one. I'll get it next month. I'll just pay for it. It lapsed. Got into an accident. Oh, you ain't coming home. You're going to do what you got to do. Isn't that kind of hard? It's rough. I was that one sheep that got away too many times. So I'm going to take your legs out from underneath you. Because you have a tendency to run and do what you want to do. Get to work and make it work for you. Oh, yeah. You think that the tithing is going to help you? It's a matter of the heart. Not just giving it. It's a matter of the heart. See, when I was at home, my mom was showing me things. I was listening. But when I went and did my own thing, my heart wasn't in it. Oh, it worked back then, so I'm just going to give it again. Heart wasn't in it. Here's the lesson of the prodigal. He realized I had everything back at home. Goes running back home. Watch this. I'll be closing this. On his way back home, the Bible says in this particular parable is that the father saw him. He saw him and he tells his servants, go get the fatted calf, go get the best robe, ring, and sandals for the one that's returning. Does that say something about worth? The father knew. That's my son. He may have messed up and did all these kind of crazy things out in the world, but that's my son. That's my son. Now, I knew he would be coming home because I know my son. So I've been preparing this fatted calf. I've been feeding this calf so much, giving it all the choice grains. I've been giving this calf the portion of the land that is greener because I've watered it longer. Just for this calf. Because when my son comes home, we're going to have a feast. This isn't a story about the prodigal son. This story is about the father looking out for the one that was lost. Found worth in the one that left. And says, you know what? You have purpose in your life. You have destiny that is tied to you. But if you want to go out there and squander everything that is already yours and spend all that you have, you're going to wind up eating with the pigs. And it's not till you come into your own senses that God reveals to you what you had before you even left. Here's what happens many times. People think they have a calling on their life to do a certain thing in their life, and they just want to leave. You better know it's your time. You need to know it's your time. Because then the Father blesses. But the Father also knows when it's not time, I'm waiting, because they'll be back. And there's going to be a celebration when they come back. A true father understands the worth. But I began to do a study on the fatted calf. The fatted calf speaks of the choice fat that is always given to God. Leviticus 3:16 reads, "The priest shall burn them on the altar as food offering, a pleasing aroma. All the fat is the Lord's." The father was saying, I'm going to give my best to the son. This particular story is speaking about how God and Jesus are the one. I am always looking out for the one that is out there. And when they come back, I'm going to give the best. How many times have you looked at people and says, I don't even know how they're making it out there. Huh? You know some folks. I don't even know how they're surviving, but they're surviving. Someone's praying. Someone is expecting them to turn around and make a change. Well, daddy's standing there saying, they're coming. Oh, they're coming. And I'm going to give everything that is good, great, and the best. And I'm going to give it to my son. How many of you have been in that situation where the one that is receiving all the great things, you happen to be that one receiving it all? But you always haven't been perfect. And the one next to you that has been doing everything that they possibly can to be perfect, now they get mad and jealous about what God has given you. See, God is looking for those that understand there's worth in them. There's worth in you. Even though you've been through some things in your life, there's worth. There's a lot of worth in you. And God goes after the one. The one gave the fatted portion that was always supposed to be for the Lord. How many of you know the story of Cain and Abel? Cain and Abel. He tells them to give of their best. Cain gives of what? He gave his grain offering to the Lord. But it was already prescribed to give blood, shed blood, the fat, to the Lord. In other words, how many of you don't want to get dirty? How many of you don't want to have a sacrifice? How many of you don't want to do it because it's messy? How many of you don't want to do it because it's not pleasing to you? But it's pleasing to God. Your sacrifice means you give 100% to God. That doesn't mean you go and get religious and become so holy that you can't talk to anybody. So holy that you can't be around tax collectors and sinners. So holy that you can't be out in the world with those that are sinners. When Jesus starts this whole parable, when he is there, and they say that he is eating with sinners and tax collectors. He is amongst those that have worth and value, but nobody in the church sees it in them. It is time for us to see that everybody has worth and value. Everyone. They may not have the same color skin or their own same belief system that you have. And we got to stop all this silliness that is taking place across the land because there's cultural differences. There's difference in color. God sees you in his image. And if your image is green, he is green. If your image is purple, he is purple. Why? We are in his image. There's not something that is better than another race. We are of the kingdom of God. There's worth in every single person on this earth. To hear the senseless killings that are coming into the church and people are killing people. It's an attack. One of the sons of the house said, I had a vision. And I saw men in black coming into the church shooting people. It was a prophetic warning.
Well, that's all the time, folks, that we have for the House of Manna podcast today. We bless you. We love you. Thank you for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you, and may the Lord continue to shine his face upon you. Favor is on your side.